Now, okay.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the New Gaming News podcast for right after Thanksgiving weekend. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. Jen, you said you had a good time, drank a lot, didn't want to hang out with the adults because they were only talking about COVID and Trump. And
that's all they talk about.
We have to keep things positive.
I'm over it.
We're all over it. So,
this is anyway. Episode 37.
Episode 37. Wow, that's we're getting up there, which is great. Yeah, so we usually wait, you know, as everyone knows, it's a bi-weekly podcast, so you people out there, you know, and where what we do is on this podcast we talk about gambling news, esports, sponsorships, and all news coming around in the video gaming world that we get our hands on. Obviously,
our thoughtful thoughts,
right, Jen? We mentioned you said that we didn't have a lot of news.
Not that much going on the past few weeks, to be honest. So I got a lot of like kind of fluffy pieces. Just give my opinion and get your opinion on the kind of like culture of what's going on right now,
right?
Because the world is kind of still crazy from COVID. I know that everything is moving along, and we're all hoping to get over it soon. But there is still physical. Like separation, like you can't have live events for esports. Right. You can't do any of that. It's huge. Right. And I know that casinos and everything are hurting, even though people are still going.
Well,
everything's hurting. How can we get around this?
Well, the thing is, and
we'll talk about it later.
Actually, yeah, we'll get to the gambling, but I know in Las Vegas, they're closing down casinos during the week.
They are.
Yeah, they're open during the weekends. So, yeah,
Why wouldn't they just have it open all week so that less people rush there on the weekends?
Because it costs them more money to keep it open during the week.
That makes sense.
Okay, and then, you know, having it on the weekend,
what a bummer! Everybody who works there.
It's a mess. Yeah. That vaccine, you know, it can't happen soon enough.
Yeah, really.
So.
All right, so Latin America's kind of popping. You brought up an article. It's the ESI Gambling Report, the Latin American Gold Rush. And they're talking about esports and kind of sports betting in general.
Right.
Yeah, I took some notes because it was a pretty long article.
Yeah, I think they talked about Rivalry, which is a big esport team there.
Yeah. They pretty much went through like the different regions and talked about what's going on specifically. I have it.
Yeah, also I think I saw a lot of information about who's getting involved, Bet360, a bunch of other companies for their way in wagering, because that seems to be kind of very, you know, the next area for esports wagering is South America.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of funny because the esports wagering overall hasn't even been certified, really, if you want to put it in those certified to in the United States. It's so vague right now. Like, I can, like, if you go to a wagering conference or you attend one online now, which is how we all attend our conferences, you won't really hear much about esports and about wagering. I mean, they do talk about sports wagering because everyone understands that. I think the people who are getting involved in video gaming and esports wagering, even the people that are starting some of these or that already have some of these wagering companies, they don't understand esports. Mm-hmm. They have to hire somebody who understands esports.
Yeah.
So it's simple. Like, in other words, for like League of Legends, which is, unless you know the game and play the game yourself, it's not easy to understand about what the hell's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Or even follow what's happening. So a lot of these people who are gamers, you know, are getting hired, you know, to sort of not only teach people the games, sort of like on that kind of level, but also to try to explain how or what's happening during the games. I think there's a lot of that going on.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, I mean, you know, I think it's a lot there's a lot happening that I think it's happening so quickly that it's like many people.
It's completely growing in the space, even though there is like a general sense of what esports is. It's still evolving, and there's still so much to do with it. And back to the Latin America, they were saying how the reason there is a lack of urgency for sports betting legislation in general is because of all of the foggy regulations in sports and esports.
Right, like it's legal some places and not legal in other places. Mm-hmm. And some places it's not even regulated.
They say that most regions are considered gray markets, which means sports betting is neither licensed, but it's licensed but not necessarily closely monitored either. So it's not licensed, but nobody's getting penalized for doing it.
You know, it's amazing to me because it's kind of interesting because if you think about some of these countries in South America, places like Africa, they're very poor countries. How do these people have?
Is Latin America the same as South America?
South America, yeah. Well, I mean, Latin America is in part of South America. It's like Venezuela, Argentina.
Is that embarrassing for me to ask?
No, I don't think so. I mean, geographically, we're not good on geographics. Only Americans only know America. We don't know anything else.
Yeah, we barely know Hawaii.
And that's even our own challenge. But my point is that, like, I think what I'm trying to point out is that I'm amazed that esports and video gaming has really taken on these third world countries, like places like Colombia. I mean, they're such poor countries. I can't imagine how.
I guess, like, but like, think about a console. Like, a console is accessible for people, even in the poorer countries, even if it's like an older one. Or like a low grade computer, you play it on low specs and you could play Counter Strike on a crappy computer.
You know, years ago, what they used to do is like the computers that were used in this country, they were resold down in places like Latin mm-hmm. America and stuff like that. So maybe that happens with the consoles as well. I have no idea. But that's my thing is that, like, in my opinion, what I believe is going on is there's a lot more banter and talk about expansion of esports gambling and wagering and less actual concrete business of it. I think about across the board, and we've always talked about this, there's a lot of prospect. I think what you see in investments and in developing industries, in the beginning of those industries, there's a lot of prospective business. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of businesses that are getting investment that, you know, every day, you know, if you go on LinkedIn, you'll see tons of articles about this one investing in that one.
That's everything. That's the only news that's happening is partnerships and investment.
Well, there was another article in regards to gaming that, like, TikTok is now starting their own gaming publishing company.
Really?
Compete against Tencent. Yeah.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on in China and in the Far East that that is game development oriented and also esports oriented because it's all related. But my point is that I think that there's a lot more prospect than there is actual gold in those hills. If anything, for example, the gold rush, go back to the 1800s, the gold rush where everybody was running out to California because they said that there was gold in the mountains. There was a lot more people saying and talking about being gold.
By the time that they heard about it was all gone, right?
Right. So I'm not saying that's the situation, but I'm using that as an example to say that there's a lot of banter in the beginning and development of industries, but, you know, how much business is there that, how much business industry is there that you can actually get your teeth into? So in other words, if there was somebody who was an esports professional and they wanted to get involved in esports, came up with an idea, would they be able to make money tomorrow? Mm-hmm. And I don't think so, because
I think all of this is kind of like a long-term investment because it's still so young.
Right. But also I think what you're looking at is as esports is kind of like I heard somebody use this analogy. It's like a moving train. And all the other people have to figure out, the publishers are the moving train. The publishers are moving train, and they're the ones making all the money. And everyone else has to figure out how to make money on the fly. Mm. So some companies are using data, like statistical data of professional esport players, and selling that data to wagering websites so that they can sell, you know, they can use that to make their bets and place their bets for their wagering platforms. Some of it is, guys like Nerd Street Gaming having and building, you know, arenas and doing stuff with Five mm-hmm. Below. And so there's a lot around of it, but you know, who's the one who's really capitalizing the most? It's the publishers. Obviously, it's from the very beginning, it's the publishers. But
well, they're the ones creating, like, the games that people play. It right. makes sense.
Right. And again, at the end of the day, I think overall, along the lines of esports and all these, and even conventional sports, because of this pandemic, there is a lot of hurt going on. Mm-hmm. Even if, you know, yes, esports is thriving. It's thriving. Video game is thriving. Why is it thriving? Well, is it?
But it's not making money.
No, because
it's thriving because people are paying attention to it, but it's not making money.
No, and it's all.
I mean, online. Like you said, publishers are making money because people are buying their games.
Right. Well, are people buying
games? Streamers are making money because people are watching them play.
Right. And also now I think that Twitch has just announced that they're going to start doing these ads in the influencer and the streams that they're doing, and then telling the influencer to take like a survey.
It's like,
what is that?
I wrote some stuff on that. So the entertainers are getting more money, but rather than having this like these weird polls, I don't know if you saw the actual pictures that were on there, but one of the questions was like, what's your favorite Amazon gift card? Like, nobody wants to sit there and do that, even if it is interactive.
Right.
Like, why can't you make it like a fun trivia game or something? It doesn't make any sense. But at the same time, it makes sense for the advertiser because they're getting that real-time feedback, but kids are just going to troll on it anyway or just click whatever. It's not even like it's going to be relevant polling because kids don't care. They're just going to click whatever. It's a bad idea, in my opinion. I think that the interactivity of the advertisement is a good idea because a lot of streamers use like ad breaks as like a fun punishment for their chat, or like allow people, if they like donate a certain amount, it'll trigger an advertisement break just to like kind of be a meme and funny. And I think that's what a lot of these companies are missing. Like, they don't understand the young culture, so they're doing these boring digital versions. Like, nobody wants to fill out a survey. Nobody ever wanted to, ever. They just don't want to.
Right.
And they're not gonna do it correctly, and it's gonna be a waste of your time.
Yeah, this is the picture you're referring to.
No, it's down a little bit.
Oh, was it down a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's funny.
Scroll down a little bit. It wants you to log in.
Oh, never mind. I'm not doing
it. I'll do down. It.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll share my entire screen. Why not?
Why not?
Twitch. All right. So yeah, this is it. What's your favorite Twitch gift card? Thank you, happy birthday, happy holidays, or congratulations. Why do you even care? Why is this a thing? This is the worst idea ever. It's so stupid.
Well, I'm going to tell you, for me personally, I literally hope that they do this.
Hope that they do what?
That they initiate this on a full scale.
Yeah, because it's just in beta right now. It's so stupid already.
No. Yeah, but the thing about it is that really opens the door for other competitors to then, you know,
make it good.
Make it good or do what they're not doing. In other words, don't do that.
Make it entertaining.
Make it
like you can't do fun trivia and then just have your logo somewhere. Like, you can't make it fun.
Yeah, I mean, that's the idea. It's like,
the streamers are making it fun by triggering ad breaks as like a penalty for having fun. Like,
yeah, you know what I think?
These companies are so detached.
Honestly, I think Twitch is going to become more corporate-y. And by more corporate-y, that'll be a slow decay.
Because a lot of people are going to be too.
And it'll be a lot of really, I mean, they've been king of the castle and, you know, the chief on top of the hill for the longest time.
There's nothing down to earth about Twitch anymore.
No, it's becoming too commercialized.
Yeah, 100.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. For me personally, my project and what I'm building with GameCon, we're going to have an aspect of our platform, the 365 day project that we're trying to build, that's going to be like a Twitch.
Yeah,
I mean, but it's not just going to have streaming content. We're also going to have games and everything else that you can do on our platform.
Of course.
So it's. I think I'm gonna have a lot more to offer than Twitch is, because I think every company around has been like sort of missing the boat with many different aspects, but we're gonna sort of have it under one roof the entire time, you know, like everything there, not just indie games, but also esport games and, you know, exploratory and, you know, first person shooters and, you know, role play and all that. I think it's just. There's just so much. There's so much in the culture that we can be covering that is not being covered, you know, like cosplay and stuff like that. That should be part of like, you know, a fun ritual. You know, it's funny because like I'm friends with a lot of people on Instagram and stuff, and they put up their cosplay. They do cosplay or they do their cosplay stuff on TikTok.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if there was a platform that not only could they do their TikTok, you know, videos, but also meet their friends and have like a small little competition amongst themselves, I think that would be so much fun.
I agree. They have to do it by themselves in Discord right now. There's no one-stop shop. It's like all these different programs The smart people are taking all these different programs and putting them together, but you are just going to package it up for them.
Yeah, one spot. So I'm going to, and you know, to start with, we'll probably use it, you know, varying existing platforms like Discord and stuff. But eventually we're going to go and do it.
Well, everything takes time. It's like millions of dollars to create something like that.
Yeah. Anyway, so.
So if anybody thinks that's a really good idea, invest in Ari right now.
Yeah, just call me now.
Just call me now.
Yeah.
Live chat it.
So I was gonna. I wanted to just jump to this next one. It says DLC Studios, the up and the ante for potent esports content and production.
That's specifically what we're talking about, and I can even cut to the chase on it. So pretty much, DLC Studios formed as an offshoot of the UK esports organization M&M Gaming, and they do branding and content production. So they had to kind of like figure a few different things out and really dive into digital because of COVID. And they were saying, and this goes to exactly what you're saying about Twitch, where Twitch is getting a little bit too corporate. They're talking about, he says, I quote, "I wanted to sit somewhere in between corporate and quite playful. I didn't want it to be too playful, as its target audience are people in business who want to play games. I didn't want to lose either market, so the task was, how do we merge the corporate world and the game world into one?" So pretty much the point is to not be afraid to go outside of the box and get a creative team that's not going to fit themselves into the cookie cutter esports aesthetic that's already established. Mm. And that's why it's important to get somebody who is authentically in the culture and is a little bit down to earth and probably a little bit more grounded and who has a different outlook and doesn't just want it to be the same as everything that's already there.
Right, right. Well, So they say,
where's the point between corporate and playful?
I don't think you should have corporate involved in playful at all.
Not even at all.
No, I think it should just be a place for people to go and have fun and relax and socialize. I think
corporate's kind of dead a little bit outside of actual contracts, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like when I ran the CEC, I think one of the great features on the CEC platform was the ability to go on the patio and fish. Mm-hmm. So you can go fishing. Like it was like somewhat like a game.
It's like Second Life, playing Second Life or something.
Yeah, so you're like, you're enjoying yourselves and, you know, you can strike up conversation as opposed to, oh my God, I mean, you know, the way that these virtual conferences have been.
It's just a big Zoom call.
Oh, it's horrible. It's just horrible. So I think people are so zoomed out that they're ready to do something new. And getting back to my project again, at the live event that we're doing for GameCon that we're working on, it is a Second Life type event. So you're going to drop in, you're going to be an avatar. We're going to have a courtyard where you could play like festival games, like ring toss and other stuff. And then you can win prizes. just for the small little stuff like hats and, you know, giveaways and stuff like that. And then you're going to get enter into the big conference hall, and we're going to have all our indie games. We're going to have, you know, hopefully some bigger sponsors will have some bigger booths, and they'll be doing some giveaways. We're going to stream the esports tournaments that we'll be running on another URL. It's not going to be inside the actual, inside the Oasis, as we're calling it, the Oasis.
Of course.
Yeah. So it's not going to be inside the actual environment, but it will be being streamed into the space. So it's going to be on a big screen inside the Oasis. So you can watch the tournament as your avatar on a screen.
Yeah, that's cute.
In the space. Yeah. So, and then, you know, there'll be cosplay.
So it feels
contests.
Very personal.
It's very personal, but it's also, it's basically a GameCon event, except there's no touching, there's no tasting, and there's no smell.
That's
so,
it.
But you're still there and you're connecting with people, you're meeting people, you're hanging out, you're playing games with people. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We're expecting a lot of people. This event is definitely going to be truly international since we're doing it online.
Yeah.
And if it's successful, as we hope it will be, we're definitely going to continue doing it as a side, like going on at the same time as an actual physical GameCon.
Mm.
You know, once we can start doing that after the pandemic.
Do you have anybody to run your virtual cosplay contest?
No, but
I would love to.
Oh, that'd be fun. We're still looking for a tournament organizer.
I think I'm a little over tournaments.
that would want to help us with that. But
they're hard work. I could let me find out if I know anybody who wants to do that. I know someone who would want to do that.
Well, maybe there's someone at Microsoft that still wants to.
I know there's this kid, he works at Virtual's name. It's his online tag is Huey Yoshitaki, and I think he would want to do it.
Yeah, so hook me up.
I ran a CLG event with him at Six Flags.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, so like getting down to the next thing. We talked about this, the ad engagement.
Yeah, we breezed through everything.
We did. We sure did.
Yeah. The only thing that we didn't talk about that much is the Nerd Street Gamers, but pretty much they're just saying that live venues are important because the integrity is just not there in online events. And they can't, it's not a controlled space.
Right.
So it's hard for them to really uphold integrity.
You know, I was wondering about, you know, in that article, I read that, it was a small article, but I can't imagine that. I mean, they're basically built kind of like Helix. They were built on, their whole business plan was building esport arenas.
Yeah.
I mean, that's up, you know, that's
bad right now.
Shot to hell at this point.
Well, Helix opened up right as the pandemic happened.
Well, they were running that North Bergen location.
Yeah, they had that one. It was amazing, to be honest. It still is amazing.
But then the one in New England they opened as the pandemic started.
Yeah.
And Boston was hit really hard with the pandemic.
Probably. They've
so. What's that? I lost your sound, huh? Can't hear you. Was that me? I think you unplugged. How about now? Yep. Having some technical issues because I'm not hearing you. Hold on a minute. There.
I was muted.
Oh, you're muted.
I didn't mute myself, but I was muted.
Well, that's weird.
I don't know how that happened.
Anyway, what I was saying about the guys at Nerd Street. That their business plan and their investors invested in them to build esport arenas across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got to be like, the investors are probably saying, they're like, what?
What do we do?
You know, it's a tough spot to be in.
That's what this article is. It's pretty much like, hey, don't forget about us. Like, that's what the article is. It's like, hey, I know you can't come to our facilities, but we're really important.
Yeah, so I got to say, as much hype as there is that and talk about how the video gaming and esports is flourishing during the pandemic, it is mostly talk. They're not really making any money. And in these cases, there's Nerd Street Gamers is not the only one. American Gaming, American Esports, in Washington, D.C. had a location. And a lot of these schools, like colleges that have built esports practice facilities and stuff like that, they've made this investment. I mean, it may not pay off in the long run, but that's the key about this. It's really, trying to stay on that train I was talking about before for the long haul, because it's going to be, especially now with the pandemic, I don't believe, like I said before the pandemic, that I thought that esports was a bubble. I don't believe that the bubbles pop, but I definitely believe that esports is going to take even longer now to come and rise.
Everybody's losing money right now, so it needs to do that much more. It's like, okay, it's more popular now, but we all lost all of our money in the pandemic, so we have to rebuild. And a lot of them don't even know how they're going to do it, I bet.
I mean, it's funny because
just because your brand recognition is still high because of your digital presence doesn't mean that you're making money.
Right, and it doesn't, I mean, the market today dropped 271 points. I mean, not that there's going to be any evaluation on esports, since it's like there's only like a handful of publicly traded esports companies. But, you know, it's not good. And in the long haul, it might get worse before it even gets better.
That's what I was saying. They're going to really have to have a full rebuild period.
Exactly. Yeah. From an economic standpoint, it's mm-hmm. definitely going to be like, okay, we got to go back to square one and it's going to start from scratch. So it's a house of cards, unfortunately, but,
Fortunately. So maybe these cool polls will help everybody out.
You mean on Twitch?
Yeah, maybe these Twitch polls will help people out.
You know that's happening. You know that's happening because the advertisers are pushing Twitch to do that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, they're like, we're not getting our revenue. We're not getting our return on our investment for advertising with you, Twitch. Where's our revenue? Hello? Nobody has any money to buy anything. They're just watching the stream.
So bad.
Yeah, it sucks. I don't know. Yeah, I bet you even Twitch is going to lose money. Because they have to pay those influencers based on their viewership, correct?
But I think the money they make in advertising is still like fine. Plus they're Amazon, so.
That's true. Amazon is just going to keep making money no matter what.
Amazon's making crazy money. Twitch isn't going anywhere.
Yeah. Well, as I said.
Unless Twitch is completely canceled.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the best thing I think for anybody in video gaming and esports right now in this industry is to find something that isn't exactly esports and video gaming and do something outside of that world to sort of circumvent or sort of pivot so that, you know, you can put food on the table for the time being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're going to, our next call actually is, our next meeting is December 7th. We're going to have Louis Alfieri and Mike Darley. Mike Darley is the CEO of Next Gaming, which is the retro games that are being utilized in the casinos now. Or in some can't
wait
casinos. For
that. I love what they're doing. I can't wait.
And Louis Alfieri is I would say he's sort of like he's part of the 4 or 5 year plan for entertainment and casinos and theaters. He is involved in immersive experiences with the American amusements industry. So, you know, all of the AR, VR,
yeah,
all that stuff is right around Louis Alfieri's wheelhouse. And Louis is based in Rochester. Mike is in Las Vegas. So hopefully we'll get him on the show in 2 weeks.
That's going to be a good episode.
Yeah. All right. So it was good seeing you again, Jen.
You too.
I wished everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Everyone, please stay safe. Make sure you wear your mask. And we'll see you in 2 weeks.
See you in 2 weeks.
Thanks.